Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples, that is Christ, get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and called him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." In 1992, after relocating to Miami, Hurricane Andrew paid me a visit 2 weeks later. My first hurricane experience, but definitely not my last one. Recalling my movements on that fateful Sunday afternoon prior to its landfall, I fastened down the Bahama shutters at my condominium. In retrospect, most of my belongings were still packed up. Listening to meteorologist Brian Norcross broadcasting the storm's movement was heart-stopping, to say the least. I do not believe that I had yet completely comprehended the entire impact of the hurricane. I decided to go to bed just before midnight with the brilliant idea of sleeping through Andrew's famous last words. About 3 a.m. the outer bands hit. I felt assured that the Bahama shutters would protect me as I continued to snuggle under my bed covers. A thought occurred that, yes, the shutters may be secure, but the window glass panes could shatter. Grabbing my pillow, flashlight, radio, quilt, and Bible — you may chuckle when you hear that, because there's very little I could do to read it with the flashlight — but I hunkered down in the hallway, seeking security at the same time with my pillow, flashlight, radio, quilt, and Bible, and remained there for 4 hours. Every gust of wind sounded as if a train was about ready to knock down the walls. About 7 a.m., the storm had almost subsided, so I finally raised up the courage to open the front door. The devastation was unbelievable. It was as if the apocalypse had happened, or it was Hiroshima and Nagasaki all over again. Debris and trash were strewn everywhere. My car survived without a scratch. An amazing miracle had taken place. That condominium where I lived was the only one not damaged by Andrew in the neighborhood. Every resident had to vacate shortly afterwards from their condos, but yours truly was not one of the evacuees. Someone said the Lord must have been watching over me, and I am in complete agreement with that statement. You'll have no argument for me on that one. Hurricane Andrew was possibly the worst catastrophe I had ever encountered. Life can throw some curveballs for all of us. Life is filled with storms. Some storms we choose ourselves. Others are created because of external forces. Most of the time, the focus is on how to get out of the mess and fix it up. Benjamin Franklin said, "Plan for the worst, then if it doesn't happen, we'll be pleasantly surprised." Perhaps we may be prepared if anything goes wrong in our lives, but success as well, like failure, has its pitfalls. Some career experts say that too much success can ruin us. When life appears perfect, it is easy to become egotistical. Our self-image is several times magnified, creating a swollen head complex. That was the problem Christ faced with his disciples. They had just been a part of an incredible event called the feeding of the 5,000. It was because of their participation, thousands of people were fed from a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. At the conclusion of the feast, Christ actually had to force the disciples to get into the boat. Why was that? Well, their newfound celebrity status had gone to their heads, and Christ knew it. If you see today's entertainers or so-called entertainers, you will see how publicity is immediately believed by those entertainers. They get the swollen head complex. They become very daring. They want to have more and more publicity. And after a while, they end up doing themselves in as far as their own popularity because they become arrogant about it. The boat the disciples were in must have been quite large to accommodate 12 people inside it. This was going to be a memorable voyage for all concerned. Storms of life will create havoc in our lives if we aren't anchored to something solid. Some people believe correct thinking will somehow preserve them like magic. Others adhere to the luck factor, but for people of faith, we look to God to guide us through difficulties. There are two friends who come to mind when it comes to storms of life, yet both are overcomers, very diverse backgrounds. One friend attended seminary with me. Dave can attract more trouble and conflict than any person I've ever known unto this day. When he telephones, I always anticipate a new plethora of problems facing him. Now, these controversies are not all Dave's fault, I want to make it clear, but tribulation seems to locate him quite speedily, though he is always able to overcome most obstacles in his life. Another friend served alongside me as a missionary in Brazil. Chris has had his share of problems, including a recent heart attack, but he never permits them to get him down. In reality, Chris is probably one of the few people that I know who really has led a charmed life. Coming from a very affluent family, whose household was the only one I ever heard who, instead of leaving milk and cookies for Santa Claus, a martini was always placed under the Christmas tree. He could fall off the Empire State Building and land on his feet. Chris is a person who does campus college ministry in Ottawa, Canada now. I talk with him frequently, and there's an inner determination which keeps him above water, not under it. Both Dave and Chris are amazing survivors in overcoming life issues with courage. We must remember that Christ was aware of the frightening circumstances of the disciples in that boat when the storm erupted. Out of the midst of the storm, Christ appeared and the storm ceased at his command. Simon Peter suddenly saw Christ strolling on the water and called out to him, when suddenly he leaped into the sea to walk toward the Lord. You must remember just a few moments before, the disciples in the boat thought that Christ was a ghost. They were very spooked by the whole matter. And yet, when he leaped into the sea, that is, Peter, to walk toward the Lord, he had no doubts that that was Jesus Christ. But suddenly he took his eyes momentarily off Christ and began to drown. His sinking, however, was not the tragedy of the storm. The real tragedy was that there were the 11 disciples in the boat who could have walked on water just like Simon Peter, but they never got out of the boat. You think about that. They never got out of that boat. Simon Peter, with perilous risk taken, did the impossible despite the factor of slapping the law of physics in the face. He moved forward on the water, which was when reality set in, but his faith went flying out the window. He cried out for Christ and sank. Christ then reached out and rescued him. You know, we will all face storms in this life. There's not one of us who are problem-free. We should take them as they come. Some are more serious than others. But most of us here are probably facing storms of life at this very moment. The question is, how will we deal with them? How do we adjust and learn from them? Will we yield to God's way to guide our lives in a crisis to rise above them and walk on the stormy seas of life? Those storms may be very doubt-filled and stressful that we face, but God will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, thank you for being with us all the time. Help us, Lord, when we fall short, when we do not ask your guidance in our lives. Guide and steer us in the right direction. Many times we let our cleverness and our arrogance get ahead of us and get ahead of you. Help us, O Lord, to do what you would have us to do in all circumstances of life, whether it is an important one or an unimportant one. We know that you are still in control and in charge. We give thanks that you care for us and love us wholeheartedly. We pray this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now join together and affirm our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Creed this day. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you. Through Christ's name I pray. Amen.